Podcast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
Dancast.
In 2001, three friends moved into a house together.
Because their names were Tim, Andy, and Noah, they called the place the Tan House.
By 2007, these friends had gone their separate ways.
Andy to Atlanta,
Noah to San Francisco,
and Tim to Los Angeles.
Now they get together on the internet every week and discuss movies,
TV,
tech,
politics,
food,
Disney,
comics,
Star Trek,
Apple,
or sometimes just stories of the good old days.
These conversations are raw, explicit, and contain adult themes and content.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
When you hear this sound, that means there's a link to what the boys are talking about in the show notes.
If none of this has scared you off, then you are prepared to listen to the Tancast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Tancast. I'm Tim, the T in Tancast.
I'm Andy, the A in Tancast.
I'm Noah, the N in Tancast.
And this is the Tancast prepisode. Let me give you some backstory. Basically, we started Tancast with the idea that about 11 people that we knew personally would be listening, which is fine, except we always did the shows as though we knew those 11 people, so we knew about all the inside jokes we'd be talking about. And so basically from day one, Tancast has been filled with inside jokes and inside references. So this episode, as on the eve of our 100th episode, is an episode to basically bring anybody who's just starting up to speed. So basically we're going to go through a lot of the inside jokes so that you can pretty much just grab any of our episodes of Tancast and jump right in. You won't feel lost. You won't feel left out. You'll be able to just have fun and laugh at our stupidness and our silliness. And we're going to do it in the style of a feature we do semi-regularly on Tancast. It's basically a top five list, but we call it the High Five because, well, there's already other podcasts who do a top five thing, and they do it much better than we do. So we decided to do the High Five, and let's get this started. The High Five Inside Jokes on Tancast.
High Five! Five!
All right, these are going to be done by category, so we're going to list a category and a bunch of inside jokes in that category, and that's how we're going to do it. And category number five is the boys. That's us, Tim, Andy, and Noah. Basically, it all started with, well, let's start with me. My name's Tim Babb. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I also do a series of Disneyland videos on YouTube called Kingdom Comedy. But this podcast is completely separate from all that. Never the two shall meet, basically. This podcast is very dirty and offensive, nothing Disney appropriate. We do talk about Disney on here, but this is not something I promote as, oh, good wholesome Disney fun. Because it's basically a podcast I do with my two old roommates. There's Andy, who I met in high school, and then Noah, who I met in college when we were both working together at a movie theater. The three of us decided to get a house together. It happened to be tan-colored, our first initial spell out tan, so it was the Tan House. Then eventually, we all got married, went our separate ways. Andy ended up in Atlanta, I moved to Los Angeles, Noah was up there in San Francisco. We started this podcast to basically reconnect each week on the internet. So we're not in the same room, we're talking over Skype, and we're just, catching up, trying to bust each other's balls, make each other laugh. And so since this is going to be basically a clip show where we play clips of past episodes, I want to start with a long one to illustrate a point about Andy's backstory, and that is Andy is a long-winded motherfucker. So enjoy this clip.
Can we waste, two more minutes?
Why is that?
Because I've got my epic fail story to tell. I had alluded to this on a previous podcast.
Okay.
I will be quick.
Liar.
Relatively.
That'll be the day. Look out, listeners. Andy from Tancast is proud to present the Never-Ending Story.
All right, I'm just going to fucking do it.
Do it.
Okay, so we've got a friend in common. I'm going to call him I.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I forgot about this because it was so long ago.
Yep. So I was dating H. H is an evil, evil whore, but I will continue to refer to her as H because evil, evil whore makes the story longer. H was a friend of my wife, and H dating I was actually the reason that I met my wife because they'd been friends in high school. And so we got set up on a blind date, hit it off, and yay, now we're married, we got a kid, we got a life, all the rest of that stuff. From almost the get-go, we all had a very strong feeling that H was continuing to see an ex-boyfriend of hers named N on the side. Because she'd just, like, disappear, and then...
That's Noah, by the way.
Yes. and then N was mysteriously coming into town, and this was the ex-boyfriend that she had told everyone, like, beat her and put her in the hospital, or put her in the mental hospital, or some shit like that. She and my wife had a rule about, you know, like, my wife's like, okay, you know, we can move in together, we'll be roommates, it'll be a lot of fun, but N must never come here. It was just too fucked up when you guys were together, and I don't know why you're still talking to him occasionally, but that's a rule. He just doesn't come here. So H, clever girl that she is, tried to sneak him there, and then, like, the day of, asked my wife, are you going to be at home, or are you going to be spending time with Andy? And it was because this dude was coming up, and she was intending to have him stay at their apartment. He needed a place to sleep. Because apparently, you know, there are no motels in the entire San Jose area in which he could stay. So there were lots of other indications that she was cheating on our friend I.
Were I and H still together when I saw H and N at the Saddle Rack?
Was it with N at the Saddle Rack, or was it with...
Oh, was that not N? Okay, never mind.
I think it may have been her other ex-boyfriend, T.
Christ. Jesus
Christ. Who there were also indications that she may have continued to sleep with while she was dating our friend I. So, time goes on, time passes, there's other indications that there's just shit going on, and a lot of our friends just couldn't stand to be around her anymore, and we all felt bad about it, but we all started spending less and less time with I because H was invariably around. Even his best friend, who I will call A, was spending a lot less time around. It was just like his best friend and his business partner, like they worked together, they did shit together.
This is like a algebra equation, but with way more drama.
Yes.
I, and then A, divided by the scandalous X. Them nefarious.
Equals
pi. She leaves her house at 8:45 p.m. and said she's going to be at I's house at 9, but doesn't show up to 9:15.
How many times did she fuck A-N? I got the letters confused for a second.
Yes, she did not fuck A. A would not have fucked her with someone else's dick. So, we fast forward a little bit further on, and I has got a friend who he's been friends with since they were, like, little kids. And since he's older than H, he's actually been friends with this guy, J, since probably before H was even born. So, you know, not best friends, but have been friends for a long-ass time. J got married. I think, was his best man. Jay was getting divorced. I was always there for him, you know, taking care of him, whatever. But apparently H was also there for him. And we started to notice signs that they were spending a lot of time together. Like, he was wanting to... Like, she was suddenly getting into motorcycles, which is something that Jay was into. And there were just lots of indications that, maybe she was starting to hook up with him instead of her boyfriend, Jay's good friend of 3 decades or so.
Oh, so that's who I saw at the Saddle Rack.
Oh, that may have been, it may have been Jay. Yep.
All right.
Short little guy?
Yep.
Walking kind of stiff because he'd just broken his back in a motorcycle accident?
Let's say yes. I wasn't paying that close attention to his deets.
Yes. So as he's getting divorced, they start spending even more and more time together. And then there was one night where she had gone out. She'd gotten really drunk. She'd had to, like, take a cab home. And my wife and I took her to get her car the next day, and she left her cell phone in my car. So my wife and I, then my girlfriend, basically we couldn't stand the suspense anymore. Like, Jay had gone on a trip to Japan and had sent her flowers from there and really pissed I off, and I had kind of had it out with him. And then we saw text messages from Jay to H, and they were things like, hey, I'm glad I was able to take care of you the other night, and hopefully I'll be able to take care of you again. And this is something about, and I'll be free in June or whatever, and we knew that's when his divorce was final. So we took all of this to, kind of took it to a bunch of different friends of like, hey, you know, the flowers from Japan weren't enough to get I to finally break up with her. Okay, is somebody, like, breaking shit down?
Noah is trying to hang himself waiting for this story to be
over. I guess. Okay.
Because, like, I know the part you're telling probably, it's still several steps away.
Okay.
I'm like, get to the meat of it. She cheated on him with this dude. And
yes.
Then what?
So, we finally tried to get all of the information that we had to I. When I moved, I finally broke up with H. And then all of a sudden, on her MySpace page, there's a picture of her in Japan with Jay. She's still denying that they had been seeing each other or that they were seeing each other then, but there was just all sorts of proof that she was. She continued to try to fuck with I's head, kept trying to get back together with him, but he just wouldn't have any of it. And then finally, suddenly, she is publicly dating Jay, and then engaged to Jay, and then now married to Jay. Very shortly after she got married to Jay, she's out at a bar with his sister, now her sister-in-law, and coming all the way back to I's best friend A, he's at the bar with another guy who I'll call L. A and L see H walk in with her sister-in-law, and A tells L the whole story. H comes over because she's that kind of fakey whore, and it's like, "Oh, A, how are you doing? It's been so long. How have you been?" And his response to her was basically, "You know I hate you, right? Why are you talking to me?"
That's what I like about A.
Yep. he'll just dangle his balls right in front of your face if that's what. Nope.
Not unlike Noah. Not a lot of pretense.
Yep. So he's like, seriously, why are you even trying? So she walks away and gets
A's
some beers.
Even more was fucked up than I would. Because I would probably be pleasant too.
Yeah. But like, just like when I, as a friend of Noah, like I know. And Noah, as my friend, will probably tell me the honest, like, he'll be like, listen, I don't give a fuck.
You know, I've been told that before, like, someone asks me something, like, Matthew, because I know you'll be straight with me.
You're not going to sugarcoat it. You'll be like, I think that's a fucking dumb idea.
I don't know what the fuck you were thinking. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Are you talking to me this whole time?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking back to that time that Noah was on the phone with the ex not quite girlfriend of his who was like still calling him up and shining him on, and I just took the phone away and yelled at her the stop fucking with my boy's head.
I remember as well. I was there.
Yes.
Yes.
Tim was not there. I was waiting.
I
for
need to hear this story.
Yes, but we've already talked about this story on Tancast, and you're still not done with this story.
Oh, that's right.
Don't diverge into other stories.
Story segue. All right, coming back. So A tells L the whole sordid story that I just told you guys, only probably shorter and funnier.
More likely.
And Elle, like, looks over at where she's sitting with her sister-in-law and sees her, like, looking back and kind of, you know, giving him the hey, you should come over so we can talk look. And he turns over to A and goes, oh, I'm going to fuck her. And then he goes over, gets a drink, goes sits with her. They start chatting it up. He gets her number. Her sister-in-law is trying to drag her out of the bar, and apparently she's, keeps coming back to talk to them some more. After they leave...
And this is Elle that's going to fuck her?
Yes, not A. Yeah,
okay.
Now L says to A, I'm going to fuck her.
Okay, gotcha.
A turns to L after all this goes on and says, if you fuck her, I will give you, if you can do it, I will give you $200. If you can get pictures, I'll give you $250. Pictures of like her naked and your dick in the shot. So I sent back to A, if he can get a picture of his cock next to her face and it's all recognizable, I'll toss in $50 myself. So it's 3 months or so after she got married.
Since you started this story?
Yes, since we started the story. Somehow Jay didn't get that she was cheating on his good friend of 3 decades with him, and then I guess figured that she was going to change, like, as soon as they got married. But nope. 3 months later, she's picking up a guy in a bar, getting a number and everything. So A gets a text message a couple of days later. Dude, go to the ATM.
Wow. Do you have to throw in a 50, or is it just 200?
Apparently it's just 200 now because they're still trying to get picks. Apparently that is still in process. But then there's the big question. If he gets the picks, what do they do with them? What's the most fucked up thing they can do? I think A is considering sending them to Jay, like printing them out and couriering them to Jay at work.
Nice. Now, what does I think of this?
I thinks it's hilarious.
Okay, because I would have mixed feelings. Like, oh great, you can fuck my ex fiance. Congratulations.
Oh, he was never
fucking my ex fiance to prove she's a whore.
I knew she was a whore.
That's why she's my ex fiance. I didn't need you to fuck her one more time.
After all the
rest of the show... I didn't need yet another penis to travel that fucking Holland Tunnel of dick.
After all the shit that she put I through, all the psychodrama and everything else, I think he is just fine with seeing somebody else do it. All
right.
Because he doesn't have to be involved. He doesn't have to, he doesn't have to get his dick wet in all this. I mean, hands dirty. I mean, dick dirty.
All right. I want to go get some food. Is that the end of the story? I hope.
Oh, yeah, that was the end of the story.
No, Noah, that was just the preamble. And now, chapter one.
Long time ago, there was a young magical lad.
That was the prologue. We got 1,000 more chapters to go.
All right.
In the beginning of time, God created man.
Now, Andy is aware of the fact that he talks a lot, as a reference here in this clip.
As I was saying before we started recording, I thought the length of my rant was maybe excessive.
What?
Perhaps rambling.
Andy, make an excessive rant? Never.
Perhaps less clear or direct than I would prefer to
be. But that's who you are, Andy.
Maybe next time I'll just speed you up gradually so that like you're talking, then you're talking faster, and talking faster, and then the rant is just over.
That would be excellent. I would actually really appreciate it if you do that. Because sometimes I can't stop myself. I get so pissed off, and it's just got to come out.
We actually thought that was a good idea, so we tried it.
People should break all of George Lucas's fingers. That dude needs to stop. I know he's richer than God, and he brought me all of
the joy that is pretty much everything Star Wars related. And you best believe he's going to get a bunch more of my money when that new Dark Apprentice, whatever.
Now, I mentioned we all used to live together in a house called the Tan House. I thought you might like this clip, which talks a little bit about the living conditions in the Tan House.
It's so sad to think the way we were back then. Like, we barely had food in our refrigerator. We had, like, condiments. Sometimes a burger that was, like, a week or two old.
We'd find milk at the back, and we'd pull it out and go, okay, what's the expiration date? Okay, what's the year on that expiration date?
We had roaches for roommates. They weren't paying rent.
I remember at the when it was just me and Andy, like when we were moving from there to the Tan House. We were cleaning out the fridge. There was milk in there. Like, we were moving in, was it May or was it June?
It was May, okay. Because it was whatever the Memorial Day weekend is, I think, is the one in May.
Okay.
It's whatever the big 3-day weekend is. That's when we remember.
Right, it's Memorial Day. Okay, it's definitely Memorial Day. I remember I pulled out some milk that had expired in November, but not the most recent November. I was like, Jesus Christ! I smelled it. It didn't smell bad.
You had some more sticking to bowls. It was an art project. How did we even get ladies, man, when we lived there?
Like, I don't know.
Like, I was messy, but I was surprised that Tim would actually get ladies into his room and they would have sex with him. Because, like, his floor was covered in shit. Like, I don't think you could even see floor anymore.
I always shut, kind of in the same way that if you're in, like, murky water where there might be stingrays, you're supposed to shuffle so you don't step on them. I shuffled into Tim's room. Because he never knew it was underneath that first pile.
No, you don't. It might have been something important, and he would get upset at you, like, hey, don't step on that.
Why did you step on that CD? You broke that fucking CD.
You never step on the pink shirt.
Pink shirt cover CD. I mean, come on. PD, police department, pink shirt, CDs. The D in CD. It's all logical.
Amazing how many women came into that room and didn't just run right back out. Like, well, here's my bedroom.
Then it makes you wonder, like,
wasn't the shit on the floor?
What kind of standards
the Star Wars sheets
the woman you're sleeping with had?
Only the highest, sir.
Yes, they only appreciated the highest level of Star Wars sheets and movie posters on the walls and ceiling.
My wife is giving me a look. My wife is giving me a look because apparently she says I used to smell when we were first dating. But she kept coming back for more, so what does that say about her?
So what does that say about her standards?
She enjoys the musk.
Exactly. Now she's making a face.
Another bit of backstory about the boys, specifically Noah. Not the best singer in the world, and we love to make jokes at his expense about it. Here's a particularly harsh one from Andy.
Speaking of Muppets, somebody just sent me a link, I can't believe I didn't see it before, to the Count from Sesame Street singing the Count song, where one word keeps getting bleeped out, so the song turns into, I like fucking fuck. When I'm all alone, I fuck myself.
Is that your Count impression?
No, it's not.
Because it fucking sucks.
Well, let's hear you do better there, Jimmy Pants.
I am the Count, and I love to count. Ah. There you go.
Yeah, but he was doing it singing. That's harder. Let's see you sing as the Count.
Let's not ask Noah to sing.
Oh,
happy
just
birthday
mean.
To you. Andy fucking sucks balls.
Here's something about me, Abby Tim, in case you forgot. I love shitty, cheesy jokes. I love hearing them, they make me laugh, and I love telling them. They make me laugh when I can tell them. Here's one, a really bad one I told a while back.
The ants had actually nested inside one of the windows. So I opened the window to see if the ants were coming in that way, and they weren't coming in that way, they were living there.
Hmm.
So I slaughtered all the ants with a bunch more poison. So I think there may be one or two ants left, and they probably worship me as a god now. I'm going to keep those two.
I don't think they do worship you as a god. I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to throw that out in the world and see who agrees with me.
I agree with you.
You think I should kill them? You think they're going to bring back more ants? Because I fucking hate ants.
You're like the Hitler of ants.
Here, hop into this train.
Hey, you're a little ripe. You want to have a shower?
In fact, the ants were just hiding in your attic.
One of them was writing a diary.
Diary of Aunt Frank.
You are a horrible man.
Why am I horrible? For the inappropriateness of that joke or the utter shittiness of that joke?
Second one.
Okay. Something else about me. Back in the old days, before I was a stand-up comic, I used to like to tell stories that I heard stand-up comedians say as if they were true stories. And I would never tell people that I just, you know, repeated a comedian's joke. And, well, one of the most famous ones is the pigeon story, which I believe is recapped right here. I told you about how I snapped in front of a homeless guy and he thought it was funny.
No.
I had signed up for this open mic and I had some time to kill because you have to sign up at like 6 and my spot wasn't till like 8. So I'm like, I got 2 hours to kill. So I'm just walking through, heading towards Sunset Boulevard, and I'm just walking around, and I was text messaging. So I stopped, and I was walking, and I stopped at the corner. I was, you know, finishing my text message, and this person was pulling out at that corner, and I guess they wanted to turn right or whatever. And so they honked at me because they thought they were waiting for me to cross the street so they could turn. But I was standing on the sidewalk. Like, I wasn't in their way. Like, they could have just turned. But I guess they thought at any minute I was just going to jump in the curb and screw up their thing. But whatever. So I'm just standing there texting myself. She goes, honk. I was like, what the fuck? I'm standing here on the sidewalk. How am I in your way? Suck on my dick. And this homeless guy behind me just starts laughing. Like, hey, yeah, you crazy too. Ha-ha, snakes.
You made his day, Tim. You made his life a little better.
Yeah. Then he wandered away going, pigeon. I'm coming back as a pigeon. I'm going to shit on them like I've been shitting on me all my life. I'll never forget that homeless guy.
And you got to hear on Tancast as my two Tancasters found out that story was actually a comedian story, and it really rattled their world. Well, yes, I would like to cross into a different thing, a fear of homeless people.
Homeless people should be able to get...
Some homeless people are scary, like that pigeon guy.
Oh!
You know that wasn't a real guy, right?
It wasn't?
No, that was from somebody's act.
No, I thought that was somebody just walking around downtown.
Nope. Well, it might have been, but it was from. But if it was, it was seen by somebody else, not me.
I thought it was seen by Noah. Nope.
Tim likes to make up stuff. One time I was telling him about a story that I thought was hilarious, and he was like, oh, I made that up. And I've been... Like, it's been like 10 years or something. And I was like, you made that up?
Well, he is a comedian. They do lie. For a living.
So the story was that one time he got caught looking at some guy's girlfriend as they're walking by. And the guy's like, you looking at my girlfriend? And Tim's like, no, I'm looking at you. And I was like, oh, that's so funny.
Oh, I could see through that. Tim doesn't have the balls to do that, because I'd probably get him beat worse.
Not only that, but I've come to realize that is the most hack joke. Like one in every four hack comics will do that joke. Ah. Like this is before I was really a comic and we knew much about hackery.
Yes, you were just a crazy, wacky guy.
So
I want to amend that and think that the I'm gonna be a pigeon. I'm gonna come back as a pigeon. I'm gonna shit on them like they've been shitting on me my whole life. I think you told that story as anecdote.
I may have, but what I'm telling you is I heard the story as somebody's act.
Oh, I now believe you. Liar.
The truth has come out, Tim.
What's your real name?
Yeah, exactly.
Tim Babb.
Huh?
Is it Shmim Shmab? Your real name's Slappy, isn't it? It is.
Oh, I'm sorry, you guys are cutting out.
You're not even half black, are you?
Liar. Fucker.
And that is now why whenever they accuse me of lying, they say pigeons. And that's why there's a shirt in the official Tancast store called The Pigeon is a Lie. I guess called. But anyway, that's what's on the shirt.
Link!
Well, that wraps it up for category number 5. Now let's move to category number 4, which is friends and family. We talk a lot about, like I said, we started those first couple episodes thinking only 11 people were listening, so we talked a lot about those 11 people. Two of them being Jeff and Miranda, friends of ours that we hung out with a lot, played a lot of game nights with, go out and do a lot of things. In fact, we've even had Jeff on the show a couple times. Here he is talking about his pregnant wife.
I forgot to mention this last time, but my wife is pregnant, so it's very exciting. She's due in February.
Congratulations. But my kid could totally kick your kid's ass.
Oh, damn. What?
Well, at this point, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of an unfair matchup.
Well, you know what, though?
Baby versus...
Hey, he's only a couple months older.
Jeff's kid has, like, a mech suit, so actually Jeff's kid can kick your ass. He has a power suit that is Miranda.
Oh, hey, there you go.
See, I only considered her life support, but you're right. And man, based on the shit that he's probably doing to her hormones about now, yeah, he's in control. He's the driver.
That's hilarious, Noah. I love it.
Get away from her, you bitch! While we are skating around the subject of wives, I should point out that all the tan men are married, and all of our wives have been involved in the show in some degree. My wife was the first one to read a disclaimer in front of the show, and she is not the biggest Tancast fan. She's listened to a couple, but she's not a huge fan, mostly because she finds I misrepresent her when I tell stories about her on Tancast. In fact, here she is once taking me to task for it.
This is Tim. I'm here with the lovely and talented Mrs. Tim, or Danelle, as she is known to her friends and those who respect her. She had something to say about an interchange that happened earlier in today's podcast.
Recently you've heard that Tim has said, "Oh, my wife is home, and she's just started to yell at me about whatever." I would just like to clarify for our listeners that I, in fact, did not yell at Tim. He could not hear what I said because I was trying not to interfere with his oh-so-special podcast. So I asked quietly, "I don't know how to turn off your iPod." And he gave me the most demeaning and frustrated look, as if I were, in fact, an idiot. So I repeated for him a little louder and with a bit more force that I did not, in fact, know how to turn off his iPod. And then he so graciously communicated to the rest of the podcast world that I had, in fact, yelled at him. So, for my listeners, thank you for listening to the other half, or what I like to call the truth. Thank you.
We went to the Fox studio today, too.
Yeah.
You want to tell about that?
No.
You don't want to tell?
No.
You just want to clarify things.
The point.
You just want to, you know.
I'm done.
Keep it fair and balanced.
Turn it off.
What? Turn off what?
Let's go.
Where are we going?
Turn it off.
Why do you want me to turn it off? You're a star. Be the star that you are.
Turn it off.
All right. I turned it off.
Turn it off.
Now, Andy's wife, Caitlin, is a fan of Tancast. She will actually listen. She's actually, I think, listened to most of the shows by this point. And she's actually such a fan, we actually had her on the show once. She actually sat in for a whole episode. Unfortunately, Andy's mic completely malfunctioned, and most of it sounds like ass. So here was the best clip we could grab from when Caitlin was on the show. She's the only wife who listens. She should know that there are Stan laughs in every episode.
She had major abdominal surgery, so she couldn't risk laughing. You know, on the off chance that we were funny one week.
You know what? It hasn't happened in 19 episodes. There's no reason to believe it's going to happen now.
No, I would, like, pee myself listening to you guys at work when I was supposed to be working and I was cracking up. And then I was trying to listen to you guys in the hospital and the nurses were yelling at me because I was laughing and I was supposed to be laying down and resting. And then after the surgery, I stopped because I didn't want to risk hurting myself even more.
That is the best excuse for why you don't listen ever. Like, you beat our wives by a lot.
I told you, I won the wife battle.
They're just like, because fuck you and fuck your needlessly self-indulgent projects. Now, if Caitlin is the wife who's the most into TanCast, and Noah's wife, Stephanie, is the one that is the least into TanCast. In fact, the only audio we could grab of her was one time we did a game night TanCast where we all got together in the same room, we were drinking and playing a game, and Stephanie was in the background talking, so you can hear her in the background in this next clip.
Steffi joined an online user group. She's trying to be social, make some new friends. We're going to build bento boxes
why
together.
Why would you want to do that when you got Noah?
Noah's not us, Stephanie.
Oh.
Noah is hugely interesting.
Playing video games, his tongue stuck out.
Like hey, you gotta stick your tongue out. It helps
you
concentrate.
Like in a video
That's
game?
Right. I'm like, oh.
Now here's where it gets confusing, because there is more than one Stephanie that we refer to in TanCast. I believe this clip was the first time we tried to break it down.
I have fond memories of grabbing the phone away from somebody who was making Noah bitter and angry and screaming into the phone, "Stop fucking with my boy's head."
I totally remember that as well.
Literally at the top of my lungs, to the point that I had to stop and take a breath in front of the word head.
How'd that relationship work out, Noah?
I don't even talk to her anymore.
Oh, it was already down the tubes at that point. Yes. She was off on some other guy.
It was a guy she was dating before. And then they were having
problems. Some other guy. It's not you, therefore it's some other guy.
Well, yeah, this is true.
So we're talking about it. I'm trying to think of who Andy said that to.
Oh, this was Stephanie. Different Stephanie.
Yeah, it was Evil Steph.
Yes. There's like Evil Steph, Original Steph, and my Steph.
Yeah.
OG Steph.
OG Steph.
Speaking of OG Steph, I will give her a little shout out, and just in case she actually does listen to this.
She's never listened to a podcast in her life.
Yeah. I IM'd her over the course of Friday at some point and just said something about, hey, did Tim and Noah tell you that we've got a podcast up finally on TanCast? She writes back, damn it, yes, I still haven't listened to it or something like that. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Have they been like bugging you about it or something? I just thought maybe nobody told you or something. She goes, no, the damn it was for me because I kept meaning to listen to it and I'll listen to it over the weekend, I promise. I'm like, hey, it's the three of us screwing around and recording ourselves and then putting it online. It's not like it's your homework or any shit like that.
All right, so just to recap what you heard in that clip, Noah has an ex-girlfriend named Stephanie, who he calls Evil Steph, a wife named Stephanie, who we just call Steph, usually, and we all have a good friend named Stephanie, who we call OG Steph, which stands for Original Gangsta, which is used ironically, since I don't believe she's ever been in a gang, although I don't know her entire history, since she spent her formative years with my wife, which is itself an inside joke, revealing, but you know what, Tim? Move on. Anyway, so Stephanie used to be our boss at the movie theater that Noah and I used to work at, and so we told a story about the days of the theater that sort of backfired on us. At least it made Stephanie mad. So here, enjoy this clip.
Yeah.
Zoltar and Stephanie were talking about how to make a resume sound better. Actually, Stephanie and somebody else were talking. I can't remember who else was in the office. And they're like, yeah, Stephanie was like, you just have to say things and phrase them in a way so they sound better. And Zoltar pipes up with, how do you make scratching your nuts sound better? And I said, testicle engineer? Or no, testicle maintenance? And he goes, tea maintenance. I said, yes, tea maintenance. That's a good thing to put on your resume. I'm proficient at tea maintenance. And then we had these things we had to fax back to corporate at the end of every night, and it was like this huge Excel sheet which had a bunch of different numbers that you needed to fill in. Most of them we didn't even use because we were just such a shitty operation that we didn't There was no need. You know, like, nothing's happening. I don't know what to tell you. How's things going? Zero. Every night, zero. But there was just ton, there's a shitload of information on this forum, like front and back. So I added on the Excel sheet a column for T maintenance. And I would put a value in it every night. And sometimes when I didn't work, someone else put a value in it. But I want to know what the other managers were doing. So like, oh, T maintenance. Well, Ab came up with a number, 4. I don't know. And it was random. Like, just put a number there. And we would fax it into corporate every night. And the boss would, I mean, Zolt, damn it. Zoltar and I would laugh. Oh, just like, because we would picture them getting it and, like, bringing it up at, like, the company conference call. Like, I see the UA pavilion's team maintenance numbers are way up. I'm not even getting team maintenance reports from anybody else. Can we step up the team maintenance? Because they are doing a bang-up job over at the UA with the team maintenance. Let's get them a team maintenance award. And then one day, Stephanie comes crashing in. What the fuck? This has been going on for 2 weeks. What am I supposed to say to my boss when he asks me what a team maintenance is? I don't remember what we answered. I do remember there was a lot of laughing. Not from Stephanie.
Boss probably doesn't even look at it. It would never even ask.
Exactly. That was just proof that no one read that form. We added a whole new column. For 2 weeks, nothing. So everybody out there who may be listening to this while you're doing your job and you're doing paperwork, just fuck it. Who can't? Just do random shit. Write puppies are cute somewhere in your report. See if anybody calls you on it. And then let us know. Hey, dear Tancast, been 4 weeks. Nobody's noticed that I said the boss fucks pigs in our annual report. Corporate America doesn't give a shit.
I didn't have a graph showing the amount of pigs fucked over each quarter, trending up.
Speaking of former bosses, my former boss, who is not allowed to be referred to by name on this podcast, he's very private, so we just call him Goatee Man, because he may or may not have a goatee, who knows. Fortunately, one time he left a voicemail on my phone, and I was actually able to grab the audio and play it on Tancast, so everybody could see what a funny motherfucker this guy is. I don't know if I'm allowed to use his name on the podcast. He think Andy has privacy issues. My old boss has wicked privacy issues.
All right, well, I won't mention his name. I can't remember right now, so it's okay.
We'll call him Goatee Man.
I like it, Goatee Man. I've always wanted to hang out with Goatee Man for an extended period of time, because the way you talk about him...
He's very funny. He called me on Thursday, and he's like, "So Tim, what are you doing this week? Anything? Are you getting outside? Are you getting some sun on those little chicken legs of yours?" And I said, "Well, tomorrow I'm driving to Vegas." And he's like, "Oh, really? What are you gonna do there?" I was like, "I'm going to the Star Trek Experience." And he's like, "And you are so gay." Like, he sang it. That's what was so funny.
I think you should put his rant at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, hi, I'm looking for Tim Babb. I just wanted to leave a message. I wanted to wish you a happy Friday and a happy fuck you, Tim. So, I'm the guy who reaches out and calls you every month, touching base with you, seeing how you are. I find out that you're going to a chicky clam fest to Mountain Mike's Pizza. I get no invitation, no fucking email. I've got to hear from the assistant chief engineer. Oh, Babb's in town. Oh, Lordy, Lordy. And I said, nothing? Does that fucker ever call you? No. Does Linda call you? No. Serena? No. Free? No. Call you, man. I reach out. I take my chubby, like, rocky little finger, punch out your name and your number into my phone, and I get fucking nothing back. Is this how you treat the no, man? That's how you do it? All right. Happy fuck you, Timothy.
Ooh. Wait, the actual rant, or can I use the remix?
Happy fuck you. Happy fuck you. Fucking damn. Fucking damn. Happy fuck you. Happy fuck you. Fucking damn. Fucking damn. Happy fuck you. Happy fuck you. Fuck you, damn. Happy fuck you. Happy fuck you. Fuck, fuck, fucking, fucking, fuck you. On the night, no reach out, and I get fucking nothing back. No invitation, no email, I get fucking nothing back. Happy fuck you, 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 happy fuck
I think the rant is funnier, but you I leave the decision up to you. I know you like the remix.
I love the remix. So did he. He plays it every so often, I'm told, in the office.
I just like the rant because there's so much venom in it.
And that brings us to category number 3 of Inside Jokes on TanCast, and this is other podcasts we listen to. It was going to be other media, but this episode is already way long, and we haven't even gotten to the other two categories. So, we talk about Star Trek and Lost and, you know, Michael Bay movies and, of course, Disney. And, you know, we talk a lot about TV and movies and comic books and other stuff like that. But we decided that this category was just going to focus on other podcasts we reference. And first and foremost, we have to talk about the podcast that most directly inspired TanCast, and that is a podcast run by Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier called Smodcast.
Link!
And here is a clip of us talking about what became the most infamous episode of Smodcast that gets referenced the most on TanCast. This is why I'm glad we have Andy, because oftentimes, Andy doesn't listen to the Smodcast, but like oftentimes they'll start talking about something, and both of them will be way off. Like, they have no idea what they're talking about, but it doesn't stop them from going on for about 15 minutes before finally one of them goes, maybe we should look this up. Or sometimes they don't, and they just come back next week like, yeah, we apparently had no idea what we were talking about Helen Keller.
Yes, that was a good one.
Like, they were questioning whether or not she even really existed. Like, if maybe it was just a story made up by the government.
She was a character for the... what was it, the water carrier? Or...
Miracle Worker.
That's the one.
Like, they thought she was just, like, a made-up inspirational tale. Like, you know, has anyone ever seen her? And, like, and how did she know what a fart is? If she existed? And, like, and then they came back the next week. They're like, yeah, we had no idea what we were talking
about. She couldn't hear and couldn't see. I'm sure that she was still equally able to smell whoever dealt it to smell. Oh, my God. Okay. You guys talk for a while. I'm going to take a quick nap.
All right,
I think eventually they put a computer in wherever they record so they can actually look stuff up. But even then, they don't look stuff up right away.
Well, they were talking about Boxing Day. Because I'm listening, they're doing a contest to if you write up the best of clips of Smodcast, you might, you know, you'd submit the script and you might end up on the show. And so I've been going through looking for the best of clips. And the Christmas one, they were talking about Boxing Day for a good 10 minutes, where Kevin Smith was insisting that Boxing Day was the practice of putting your shit in boxes. Because you're taking down your decorations after Christmas. And then Mosier goes, no, I'm pretty sure that's where you box up, you know, old things that you have and give them to, you know, those less fortunate. And Kev's like, no, I like mine better. And then somehow someone convinced them to, and somehow they convinced each other to look on the computer. Even though Scott said, yeah, I guess yours makes more sense. And then they look it up. Oh, wait, no, Scott is 100% right, and I am full of shit.
Generally, Scott is right. If you had to bet on the two, I would bet yeah. Scott.
You know,
Kevin most of the time just talks out of his ass.
Yeah.
Next podcast we talk about a lot is the podcaster that I have a pod crush on, and that would be Mignon Fogarty, host of Grammar Girl's Quick and Easy Tips for Better Writing.
Link!
And Behind the Grammar.
Link!
We simply call her Grammar Girl because that's usually her title. And one time I actually was mentioned on an episode of Behind the Grammar, so I used that along with the rest of that episode and created this mashed up bit of audio.
Hi, I'm Mignon Fogarty. Okay, here's something that's been annoying me more and more lately. Tim Babb. People have always said the great thing about podcasting is that anyone can podcast. And the horrible thing about podcasting is that Tim Babb can podcast. That was meant as an insult to the poor quality podcasts put together by Tim Babb, two buddies, a $5 mic, and a case of beer. I had specifically said that I'm certain if Tim Babb stopped posting that nobody would say, hey, where's Tim Babb? That there are enough other things vying for people's attention that no one would ever notice that Babb was gone.
So Grandma Girl actually heard that and commented on our profile, and so here's us reacting to Grandma Girl reacting to us playing her clip. Does that make sense? Well, too bad. Here's the clip.
I'm surprised. I wonder if Mignon Fogarty listens to, like, a podcast regularly, or if she just listened to that one. Did you tell her about that one?
Well, because I had put the link in the show notes about where to actually hear the full on what Mignon was saying, it put a link to our show in her comment section for that page for some reason.
Okay.
You know, like those trackbacks or whatever they are. So I think she's like, what? What is this? And clicked and listened and then said, whew, I gotta make sure never to listen to this shit again. I can only imagine how bad it is if the three of them are fucking talking.
Good choice.
I don't know that she said that. She may in fact be enjoying these shows, but I doubt it.
She's probably like, damn, they are mangling the English language. I cannot support this.
Yeah, I noticed one of her recent actual Grammar Girl podcasts was about stringing too many things together with a verb that doesn't necessarily apply to everything after the comma. Like, you know, I am picking up some cheese, milk, and eating some bread. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
picking up doesn't apply to eating bread. And I was like, oh, that is every single TanCast show notes. Because I know I fuck that shit up all the... Because I'm just like, I start writing, and I'm going as I'm editing the episode, at putting in what we're talking about. And I'm like, I know I've changed verb tense and fucking plurals and not plurals. And, you know, it's all fucked up.
Yeah. And then when she's like, three friends with a mic. I was like, that's us.
Another podcast we talk about a fair amount, with good reason, because I'm a regular contributor to it, is the Mousestalgia Podcast. This is a podcast about Disneyland, Disney's California Adventure, and everything else Disney. And I've been lucky enough to provide some audio that they've played on that podcast a number of times, and I was super lucky to have them invite me on a very special trip, which we talk about in this clip.
So, Tim, how was your yesterday? You said you're a little tired, a little worn out. Busy day?
I drove back and forth to Disneyland from up here in the Bay Area because I went to Disneyland's Club 33, which I posted a blog about, and Jeff wrote, I have no idea what Club 33 is. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess if you're not a Disney nerd, you don't really know what that means. Like, alright, was Club 32 booked?
Whereas Tim IM'd me earlier in the week and said, holy shit, I'm going to Club 33 on Saturday. And my response was, oh my god. Nice.
Before I go any further, I should say this was all courtesy of the good folks at the Mousestalgia Podcast who invited me along. Thank you, Mousestalgia. Keeping things in the Disney podcast family, there's another podcaster who's actually been a guest on our show. I was a guest on his show, and then he came to be a guest on our show. That is Van, and I am, of course, talking about the Netcot Podcast. That's a more Disney World-focused podcast, but it still talks about pretty much all the Disney theme parks and does Disney news and background Disney or back Disney audio. You know what? I don't know what I'm looking for. Audio. Disney audio. Anyway, so we've had Vanica on a couple of times. Here was his first guest appearance on TanCast. And our special guest this week for our one-year anniversary.
I'm Van. I'm the Van in Tim. I mean, wait, no, the Van in Tim. Did I say too much?
My wife's in the other room. She doesn't need to know these things. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Van, I don't know if you've listened to the podcast, but we have no format. We have no schedule. So how was everyone's week? Anything exciting going on?
I want to say something exciting happened, but fuck if I can remember what it was.
I'll tell you what it was.
What was it?
We hung out in Disneyland.
I hung out with Van in Disneyland.
Nope, that wasn't it.
Good job, Tim. Did you guys hold hands?
You know what?
Was there like a slow motion montage of music in the background?
The first time we got together in Disneyland, yes. We took a boat cruise that was absolutely lovely.
Another podcast we talk about a lot is unfortunately defunct now. It's was a podcast with Chris and Jimmy, Seen Unseen. This is a podcast where one of them would see the movie and another one wouldn't, and I realize I am now explaining something that is about to be explained in this very clip. Did you guys listen to the latest Seen Unseen?
Nope.
I did. I always
did. They mentioned the Bab. Did you hear it?
I did.
And the TanCast.
They're like, yeah. What are we, plugging everyone's website?
DVD, sir. DVD for favorite movie with a former TV star.
Yes, sir.
In it. I have Tim Babb from TanCast.com. What are we, advertising for these
We're
people
We're helping
now?
These people out,
Tim
I think.
Babb,
I hope.
Go to TanCast.com.
Yeah.
Picks Toy Story 2. Toy Story 2. Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, Kelsey Grammer, Joan Cusack, John Ratzenberger, Ann Potts, Laurie Metcalf, Jim Varney, Don Rickles, and Wayne Knight.
But then they I stopped to repeat it again. Go to Tancast.com. Another podcast we talk about a lot is Distorted View Daily. It's a podcast hosted by Tim Henson where they play fucked up audio and read fucked up news stories, and basically it is fucked up. It makes Tancast look like Mousetalgia. Mousetalgia is a very clean podcast. You see what I'm going for? Opposites. All right, you know what? I'll just play this. A lot of times I will call into the voicemail show on Distorted View, and then Distorted View will play my voicemail of Tim and Tim Henson reacting to it, and then I will put that on Tancast. And so here was one of the first voicemail, actually, that I ever played on Tancast from Distorted View.
All right, the monkey future is already here. We don't even know it. That's even more frightening.
Jigu. Let you know I did my duty as a freak and voted for you at Podcast Awards.
However,
I got to tell you, I did it under protest. Because I think you should totally be in the comedy category as opposed to mature for two reasons.
I agree.
There's two podcasts on there that don't belong on the comedy category. There's one of them called, Magic Milkshake Machine.
Okay.
Well, nominated for the best 2008 podcast, hasn't produced a new episode since March of 2007.
What's
that bullshit? And then there's one called Tancast. These three guys and Tim, Andy, and Noah, all they do is talk about nothing. They're morons. Their show sucks. No one should ever listen to Tancast. By the way, this is Tim from Tancast. Love your show.
Gotcha, I see. All right, next up.
Then, of course, there is the Mean Dog Movie Review the Mean Dog Top 5 podcast. They review movies. This is one of the top podcasts I was talking about that does top 5 lists a lot better than this, because their top 5 list would be over by now, and you probably would have laughed more. But basically, they pick a topic like top 5 directors, and they go around a table, and each of them lists their top 5 directors. And so Noah and I particularly really like this show, so much so that we've actually ripped off one of their slogans. This clip will explain.
Did you see Wall-E, Andy?
I have not seen Wall-E. I did see Hellboy, though.
Oh, what'd you
Hellboy 2.
What'd you think of Hellboy?
It was a good
movie. Wait.
But,
let me do something real quick.
Yeah?
Tancast movie review. There you go.
How could I have forgotten to do that? So, Tim, did you see any movies this week? Wait, Noah, do the Tancast movie review. Tim, did you see any movies?
Tancast movie review. You know, I tried to do like the guy on Mean Dog, Tim.
I knew. I was about to say, for those of you who don't know, we are yet again ripping off another podcast, and that would be Mean Dogs.
Well, I'm the only original one on this group.
No.
I liked how you found it very funny, though, and even though you didn't know I was doing that.
Oh, yeah. I found it very funny. I thought it was random, you know, insanity from the mind of Noah, but
nope.
Stole it from someone else, less
clever. You know what? I should let you believe it for like 10 years, and I told you the truth.
Yeah.
Like some people around here.
Really? That seems like a mean thing to do. I don't see why you would do that. Doesn't seem like a very friendly thing to do.
Be a pigeon. Come back as a pigeon. Shit on you both like you've been shitting on me my whole life.
All right, we're about done with this category. Before we go, I do have to mention that another podcast we talk about a lot is the How Stuff Works podcast. Stuff You Should Know from How Stuff Works. However, I couldn't find a clip of it in time, and I am fucking tired of listening to old Tancast podcasts. So just know, Stuff You Should Know is a good podcast. We mention it a lot. I don't think it's anything you really need to know, but just, you know, when we mention Stuff You Should Know, it's a podcast, and that's what we're talking about. All right, moving on to category number 2, and these are past bits we've done on the show, past segments, past, you know, jokes, something we've said on the show that we'll go back and re-reference again without saying it again. So I thought you'd like to be up to speed on all these past jokes. And usually they're funny, so this will probably be a good segment. Not saying the other 3 segments so far weren't good, but you know what? It's time to move on. So, Indiana Jones. See, that's what we say when we've gone off on a tangent, and it all stems from our first episode when we were trying to review Indiana Jones 4 and the Temple of the Crystal Shitty movie. So, Indiana Jones.
Tim?
I think this episode title should be called They Eventually Talk About Indiana Jones.
Wait for it.
Tancast the First, right? In which our heroes eventually speak of the Jones.
You know, that's exactly what they say on Smodcast. They call themselves heroes. I didn't know Andy knew that. Or maybe he didn't, and he just was psychic.
Maybe he was just going for like a Batman sort of...
No, you know what I think it is? I think that whoever the fuck it is in Smodcast... Is it Kevin Smith?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Jesus, God.
I don't know. This is how clearly like out of that loop I am. but I think that Kevin Smith in the future is going to invent a time machine, travel back, and tell himself to use that Heroes thing before me so he can claim it was him.
Right. So, Indiana Jones. What did we all think of it?
It could be the running theme of our entire podcast. Like, every week we're almost going to talk about Indiana Jones.
Well, yeah, sorry.
Sorry to Indiana Jones. We ran out of time.
We would be like Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel.
Our wives would be doing
Kimmel.
I fucked Indiana Jones.
What? Yep.
Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel. I'm sorry. Yes. I just apologize to Matt Damon. We didn't have time to get to you today.
Yes, I was actually then, evoking that when I said one of our wives would be fucking Indiana Jones.
So. Oh, there you go. So, Indiana Jones.
So.
I think the title of this podcast should be called So Indiana Jones.
And I was worried we would have hit a spoiler by now. We haven't even said whether or not we liked it.
We've been going on for like 20 minutes now. And
21 by my count.
Haven't managed to talk about what's really. I mean, you know, anything in depth.
Another inside joke is we constantly blast Andy's balls about wearing Crocs. Well, basically, this clip explains it all.
I dressed as a serial killer.
Because they look just like anyone else?
They look almost like anyone else. However, I wore jeans and a nice sweater. I looked very suburban. But then I wore Crocs with that to look just a little bit off. And then I had a bunch of cutting and prying tools and a bunch of plastic
Jesus
bags.
Christ.
And I put all of the cutting and prying tools inside their own individually sealed plastic bags and carried them around like a little kit.
Wow.
And I took that to work.
That's the way to get fired.
Something's wrong with you.
I laid them out near my desk, and people came over like, are you dressed as Andy? No. Why are you wearing Crocs? Who the hell wears Crocs? Like, it's a little disconcerting, isn't it? Yes, it is. So now look around me, and what else do you see? Oh, you're a serial killer!
So, where did you get the Crocs?
I own Crocs.
Why do you own Crocs?
The truth comes out.
and like, of all the things we've said on this show, I believe that is the most shame I've ever heard in Andy's voice.
I like how he got real quiet, like, I own Crocs.
Like he just admitted to killing Kennedy or something.
It was me.
Why you own Crocs?
I own Crocs because since we were going to Hawaii, I was looking for something that would be like,
oh, you wore Crocs in Hawaii?
I did not.
He was looking for something so no girls would ever hit on him.
That is true. I want only the gay guys to hit on me from now on. Cause...
Not even gay guys. Not to say that the gay guys are scraping the bottom of the barrel, but I'm just saying, not gay guys will not hit on you if you're wearing Crocs.
Well, yes, that is my gay away. It's, you know...
Yeah, I'm like, likely to have a woman hit on you than a gay guy. Oh, honey, with those shoes? No!
No, it was since we were going to be at a...
A gay guy in a musical, apparently.
We were going to be at a condo in Hawaii, so there's like a whole large area. And mm-hmm. I didn't have any sandals that were appropriate for getting all wet, because my sandals are leather. So I had the sandals for wearing just like around town and everything, and I had shoes and... You know, a variety of those things. But then I figured I'd grab the Crocs just for, you know, if I was going to walk out in the water, it'd protect my feet a little bit if I really wasn't giving a shit. And then once we got to Hawaii, I actually found a pair of aqua socks that fit me better and also realized that I had left the Crocs at home. And so I bought aqua socks and wore those out in the water.
Gay.
Yes.
So gay.
So now I just wear the Crocs like house slippers. Like, if I gotta run some trash out or something like that in the middle of the night, and I don't want to put on shoes, I'd grab the Crocs. And then I also wear them to be a serial killer. Mine are tan. They don't look like Crocs until you really stare at them.
Oh, I'm sure they look like Crocs. Don't kid yourself.
Plus, I wear them around the house.
I'm sure no one's going, ooh, look at those penny loafers. Wait, Crocs?
You penny loafers full of holes and look like clogs and have a strange rubber band for the back.
Another running feature we have on Tancast, we started, I don't know, 12 episodes in. This is called Tan Laughs. That's where basically you guys send us jokes. We have email addresses, fucktards@tancast.com, yourmom@tancast.com, or you can always email us individually at tim@tancast.com, noah@tancast.com, or andy@tancast.com. So basically a joke you tell, like at a party, like, hey, well, a guy walks into a bar, says ow. Something like, you know, whatever. It could be that. It could be long. It could be like a riddle joke or a long joke. Basically, so we would start every episode with three jokes. Basically, that was the big plan. Noah decided he would start doing Yo Mama jokes. But the way he told them, I would always interrupt him. He would say, your mama is so fat. And I would say, how fat is she? And that really irritated him for some reason, because he felt to keep the purity of the snaps. Like, no, there should be no how fat is she in there. And, that led to this clip right here.
Your mother is so fat.
Do it, Tim.
I was gonna let him go.
Oh, okay. your mother is so fat, her pitcher weighs 10 pounds.
Nice.
All right, that's a good.
You know why you don't give it the sass that they do whenever I hear people doing snaps? That's why I always start to put the how fat it. Like, you almost sound vaudevillian when you say it. Like, when I hear people doing snaps, like, man, your mama's so fat! Whereas you're like, Tim, your mother's so fat. Let me tell you how fat your mother is. If you'll watch this PowerPoint slide presentation, I will show you exactly how fat your mother is.
I hear to try another one. Tim, your mother's so nasty. She worked at a sperm bank and got fired for drinking on the job. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. So once we got Noah to ethnic up his snaps, I think he really perfected it in this joke right here, which we've referenced several times.
Okay, all right, so let me get my ethnic voice on. There. Me. Your mother is so fat, every time she puts on a yellow dress, people yell, taxi!
Now we come to perhaps the most... If there is anything famous about TanCast, it is this segment right here. It is a debate about the Man of Steel and what you would do if he had nefarious intentions. Let's just roll the clip.
If Superman was real, you'd go gay for him.
I think if Superman was real and he wanted us to, we'd all go gay for him.
No way.
Yes. How are you going to stop him? He's Superman.
I can think of
Don't pretend you have kryptonite. You don't have kryptonite.
I would find...
I can think of far less painful ways for him to kill me than blowing a supersonic load up my ass.
But it's his choice. If he's decided to, he's going to do it.
In a world where Superman was real, I'm sure Batman would be real. And I'd go to him and be like, help me out for me, asterisk by Superman.
How are you going to find Batman? What, do you just look him up in the yellow pages under Batman?
Bat signal, dumbass.
Big ass, yeah, bat signal.
You don't have a bat signal.
He can make one.
Exactly.
Noah is crafty.
You can't make one.
Noah is crafty.
Mr. Gordon.
He's not crafty.
Mr. Gordon be around. I'd be like, hey, we need Batman. He's going around raping men. We gotta stop this.
I'm sure Commissioner Gordon just takes calls from random people on the street.
He's a police officer.
Yeah.
File a report.
He's in Gotham City all the way across the country.
Hey, you see this
Superman
tunnel that goes
here.
All the way from my ass out my abdomen? Superman, get on that.
Well, now it's too late. You've already gone gay.
Yes, but you can protect others.
Superman's gonna rape
my point is, if Superman wants to have sex with you, there is nothing you can do to stop him.
Not necessarily.
This TanCast has gone a weird way.
But you know what? It's important that we nail down these issues.
It is. Please continue.
I will learn magic.
You can't learn magic!
When Superman is around, you can learn magic.
Where? Where are you going to learn magic?
Online, dumbass. Google.
So, in a world where Superman's around, Google is suddenly magic.
No, Google will get me to the magic. I Google magic to stop Superman, and it'll pop up. Because that's how good Google is.
You know what? Fans, right? I know there's a lot of editors from DC listening to TanCast, because we're hugely popular among people who are important and do things.
And if they're not, we've got 6 degrees of separation. People, tell all your friends, have them tell all their friends, get to the editors of DC for us. This is your home.
I am willing to bet.
Because Noah's got to ask the Google
if
thing.
If Superman wanted to rape you, he would.
I'm just saying there are ways you could stop him.
There are ways, but odds are you don't have access to them.
Well, you know what? If you're going to get raped, I'll be very motivated.
I mean...
Noah's going to keister his personal supply of kryptonite.
You can't! Where's the kryptonite? Kryptonite is this rare thing.
No, in the comic books they give out like hotcakes.
Yes, they do. It's this rare thing that everyone's got that just shows up somewhere. Hey, look at this pretty rock. I made it into a ring. It rotted my hand.
That's one dude. That's one of the richest dudes in the DC universe.
Okay.
He has resources. He can get his hands on some kryptonite. Noah, working at... That was me editing it out. does not have the cash to fly to Abu Dhabi, break into a museum, and get the kryptonite.
I have some savings. I can take out a loan.
And I think if Noah's about to get ass raped...
But in the meantime, Superman's already raped
you. If Noah's going to get ass raped by the Man of Steel, I think he's got the motivation to get to Abu Dhabi, break into a museum.
He's got super vision and x-ray vision and super speed. He can find
you. Look, son, I told you once. Noah is crafty.
Maybe I'm hiding behind ledge.
Where are you going to get all this lead all of a sudden? Now you got two.
Maybe I went to a bank.
You have got a lot of expenditures on. You got to buy lead. You got to buy a plane ticket to Abu Dhabi. You got to find a way to Ocean's 11 some kryptonite out of the museum.
Hey! Lead is cheap. Obviously, China puts it on everything.
Oh, so that's your plan? You're going to buy a bunch of China products and hide them around you at all times?
Yeah.
You don't think Superman's going to be on the lookout for the guy that's encased in lead? Like, that guy's encased in lead. Probably not the guy I'm looking for. I'll continue. No, I think he's going to stop, go, I think I can tear these little plastic toys off of my hand. Oh, look at that. The guy I wanted to rape in his sweet, sweet asshole. Sonic boom! And you're done.
No.
You're going to have to take a shower with Kevin Smith's dog because you're going to be caked in super cum. Tancast is so weird, we've actually even come up with our own units of measurement. For instance, we have a unit of currency. I would play that clip for you, but I've been listening to Tancast episodes for about 2 weeks. I haven't listened to anything else. I've been missing my TV shows. All I hear is these three fucking idiots. And yes, I'm including me in three fucking idiots yapping in my ear. I could not find this. It's a unit of money called Vietnam hookers, because Noah found out you could find a hooker at Vietnam for $5. So then he started rating, pricing things like that would cost three Vietnam hookers, or $15. You see what I'm saying? Ha ha, I'm sure it was really funny. I don't know where that fucking clip is. Fuck that clip, and fuck Noah. But I do have the clip of the other unit of measurement we came up with for Tancast, and that is, I think I'll let Andy explain.
I have shared with you guys that I've decided that teabag is a unit of measurement, and it is both a unit of length and of volume.
No.
After I devised that, I started to threaten to measure people's heads.
I don't think they like that.
No, they don't. They don't understand it.
I would think, as a general rule, they would be against it.
One.
I'm against you putting your balls on my head.
I vote no on Proposition Teabag.
Dip one.
Oh.
Dip two. Dip three. Dip four. Stop moving.
Here's something about Andy. Good guy, loyal friend, always got your back, really smart guy, really good guy to be around. However, he is a seething bucket of rage if you piss him off, as one person found out in this story he tells here.
So Andy was talking about at a Mexican restaurant?
Oh, yes. Mexican restaurant. We'd been, we were visiting my brother, so we were, in the middle of nowhere. We'd been, wandering around all day. Hadn't been near a bathroom in quite a while, and we're finally sitting there, waiting for a long-ass time for our food. Because this restaurant's, it's like the restaurant at the end of the universe. There's nothing else around it. So, everyone who had been up at these, lakes and hills and picnicking and whatever was going to this restaurant. The place was busy as fuck. So we're waiting for a long-ass time for our food. Finally, I'm like, shit, fuck it. I'm going to go back to their shitty little bathrooms. I go in. I, lock the door. I can tell that it's got one of those doors where I'm sure if somebody just, leans on it hard enough, it's going to open. And sure enough, I'm in there, and somebody comes up and jiggles the door, and it's, the handle doesn't turn. That should be their indication that it's locked. And I yell, because I know it's freaking loud outside, occupied, I'm in here, or, some shit like that. And apparently the fact that, there was noise coming from inside and the door not opening and the fan going and all the rest of that stuff on the inside and, light coming from underneath the door wasn't a clear enough indication to whatever fucking drunk-ass Nimrod was standing outside there who'd been off, fucking his dogs in the woods while drinking six-packs. But dude, shoulders his way in and, the door opens just a crack and I pulled off... I gotta take the mic away from my mouth right now because I'm actually gonna do it like I did it then. I'm sitting, totally exposed and very unhappy about the fact that this guy's already shaking the door because it's making me clench. When they hits the door and it, busts the thing and comes open, I give him a, I'm fucking in here! Oh, man. Apparently I was heard in the restaurant over the music. Ha 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 It got the message across because of, like, he slammed the door back shut and ran.
That phrase cracked us up so much that we actually used it in a jingle that we now play anytime Andy goes off on a hate rant. We will play this as Andy's hate rant jingle. So every so often, someone will say something stupid on Tancast. Actually, fairly consistently, someone will say something stupid on Tancast. But every so often, someone will call them out on it by going, "You're an idiot!" Which may seem kind of random until you listen to this clip right here. That's all for now. Join us next week when I dip my balls in Noah's mouth and he likes it.
Mm-hmm. I never like it.
Nummy.
You always like it.
Never.
Always.
Hate it.
Love it.
It sucks.
Exactly. It sucks on my balls.
You're an idiot.
Look who's talking.
Yes, you are.
This has just gotten childish.
Gotten. Also, we have a very weird censoring system on Tancast. We don't bleep, obviously, swear words, but Andy likes to keep his privacy, and so does Noah, so they don't say their last names on the show, they don't talk about where they work, they don't talk about, you know, just specifics of their life that they try and keep, you know, private. But sometimes they slip, and they say it on the show. So what we use is, instead of a bleep, you know, like, beep, we don't do that, we use the sound of a chicken, because why not? It's better if you just hear it in action as it happens right here.
There was one guy, I got him on the phone, he was like a supervisor, and he starts to go down the wrong path. I go, "Listen, you're clearly not listening to me or not understanding." He goes, "Well, my supervisor's not here." I'm like, "No, I don't need to speak to another supervisor. I need to speak to somebody who is actually technical. Like, I say words, and they listen, and they think about those words, and then they take action based on their past experience and knowledge, not some fucking script in front of them." He goes, "Well, Mr. I don't know what to tell you." I said, "You can tell me that somebody..."
Oh, you did it! He said Mr. Yes!
Fuck!
Does it feel good to be right, Tim?
You were wrong the last time, though.
Doesn't matter. It's all been vindicated.
Oh, son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
Well, Mr. Bogart.
I get so into it that I'm just talking to the two of you that I forget that we're recording this and going to post it online where I don't use my last name.
In the early days of Tancast, our equipment was nothing but the best. If by nothing but the best, you mean shitty. In fact, Noah's mic originally wasn't working. He plugged it into his MacBook, and he thought he was recording into it, but in fact, it wasn't working at all. He was just recording through the built-in mic in his MacBook. So then he got a special mic that was supposed to work with his MacBook, but about halfway through every episode, it would fail, and it would sound like this.
Suddenly they're Cuban.
Racist.
Whoa. What's happening?
I don't know. It sounded like Noah was farting.
You right over there,
I'm
Noah?
Good. I'm good.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
No, you got a problem.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, every time you talk, it's like...
Yeah.
Talk again. Hello.
Do you have a mouthful, please?
Yeah, it sounds like you're a shitty robot from an 80s movie.
You know, we were doing so well, but we managed to pull the fail out.
Yay! We fail every time that we try. We are Tancast and we suck our penis. But even we...
Is it still doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't change anything.
Do we want to try hanging up Skype? Or Noah, you hang up Skype and I'll call you right back.
Sure, why not?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
So, I mentioned the Tancast store earlier. You can go there, cafepress.com/Tancast. You see a lot of t-shirts. Some of them... We've mentioned some of the slogans you've seen, or you've probably heard. If you go there now, you'll be like, "Oh, I just heard that. Oh, I just heard about that." There's one we haven't mentioned. It's called "Ask Me About the Free Sex." That was just basically a t-shirt Noah made once and didn't have the results he was hoping for.
So this is years ago when I was single. My friends were making t-shirts. They're buying, like, black, you know, undershirts from Walmart and buying iron letters.
Ah, yes.
And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of a good idea. I think I'll make my own t-shirt." So I was coming up with different ideas So my idea was ask me about the free sex. And my wife is not impressed by this shirt. She hasn't seen it, but I can tell she wouldn't be impressed by it.
Oh, you why, is she giving you a look?
What was that?
Is she giving you a look while you say it?
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
I thought that was genius.
So I actually wore the shirt out once. Sky. Remember, we went to go see Sky at that, it was like some bar.
Oh, yes.
Anyways, it doesn't really matter where it was, but.
You're right, it does.
So, I was wearing the shirt, and this guy walks past me, he goes, looks at my shirt and goes, I'll ask you about that later. I was like, no, don't ask me about that later.
Backfire! That just seemed such a great idea. Ask me about the free
sex. I know, and it was one of those things that only had to pay off once to be totally worth it. Unfortunately, it paid off in gay bucks.
I actually did meet some girls
gay bucks!
It might have been because of that shirt, but nothing ever happened with them. Stephanie found that story very funny. She's like crying.
Gay bucks!
Gay bucks.
Oh, man.
I just like that idea as a unit of currency. Gay bucks. Dude, I would pay 40,000 gay bucks to see that. I'm going to start saying that from now on. Gay bucks. Well, you know what? With our sinking economy, gay bucks will save us.
Yes.
I can
the
edit
rising
that shirt.
Value of the gay buck against the dollar.
You did what
ask
with that
me
shirt?
About the free sex, parentheses, ladies only.
There you go.
That's
or,
genius.
If you swing the other way, you could say, fellas only. And that is a good way to tell whether people are gay or straight. Now you've taken the guesswork out of it.
Yep.
We should, those should be the shirts that we sell to make money for Tancast.
It has to be about the free sex, Tancast.com.
Yep.
Yep.
That's why that shirt is in there. But here, there's another shirt in there that comes from this clip right here.
And they quickly settled all the lawsuits, I guess to avoid embarrassment or whatever. But, like, the details of what's on the sex tape floated around? Sorry, my brain just drifted off there for a second.
You expected us to have a huge reaction, like, holy shit, how unexpected.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, is that the end of the story?
Stupid selfish whore has a sex tape? Oh my god! Yeah, apparently the sex tape...
Just never know with Andy. Is it the end of the story, or is he pausing to reload more words?
Click, click, click. Hold on.
He's got a word Gatling gun. Words. We need another magazine. Words.
That was actually, I had a jam and I had to clear the ejection port. A word got stuck halfway out of my mouth.
I like Andy's thing. I mean, I like Tim's thing.
And I hate you both. So, you know, Merry Christmas.
That's such a great analogy for Andy.
I'm going to send you both a baggie full of my
he's
jizz
like
for Christmas.
He's like a shitty rusting Gatling gun. Like, you can do it for a little bit, but then it's like,
We love you, Andy.
Well, I hate you both.
Well.
With white hot intensity of a thousand.
It's a love hate thing.
I like white hot intensity. Feels delicious on my nuts.
We're going to have to name this episode.
Too late.
Oh, I was going to say we have to name it Noah's Nuts, but yeah, I guess words works.
Just crack it up.
That's another one that would make a really good t-shirt. Just words, like someone just gave up on writing a slogan. Another thing we like to do a lot, and I like to do a lot, is blast Andy's balls for interrupting something very important because his back was hurting and he needed to run. You know what? I'm kind of ruining the clip by talking about it too much. I'll just play the clip here. He was throwing his back out back when we still lived together. Something's wrong with the dudes. I don't know what you're doing.
Dude,
I don't know what crazy Cirque du Soleil moves you're trying to do on a daily basis.
It's genetic.
Stop it.
Talk to all the men in my family.
Remember once I was about to get my first blowjob, but Captain threw his back out, needed a ride somewhere.
Tim's never going to forget that.
I had no idea. Yeah, to be honest, Tim, you had absolutely no game at that point. So, you know, I figured you were just sitting around chatting.
We won't mention who it was. They don't need to be named.
Oh, I know who they are.
I know
who they are. Hello, everybody Steve. Knows.
Steve, you're out there, Steve. We're talking about you.
That's funny. I have a couple gay friends named Steve, neither of which has ever offered to blow me.
Oh, they've offered, and you've taken them up on
it. Just putting it out there, Steves. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that I'm saying I want it, but I'm a little offended I didn't get the offer. That's all.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of
like... I'd reciprocate, I mean, theoretically, if this was going to happen.
Yeah, it was like Hillary as VP. She didn't necessarily want to have the second-in-command job, but it would have been nice to be offered.
Exactly. No. But, like, literally, the gallus mouth had just gone around the old tallywhacker, and then it's like, Tim, I'm a bitch. And I was like,
can you take me to my other bitch friends?
Oh. I still feel bad.
As well you should. That's why I bring it up. Just, you know, for the holidays. Something for you to remember.
Merry Christmas.
I feel bad about
it. You ruined my blowjob.
At that point...
That is literally a cock block. All right, this one isn't so much an inside joke, but it was a question from one of the listeners, and they wanted to hear this clip on the show, and I say, hey, you know what? This show is for the listeners, baby. So here's an old clip of me talking about... Well, you'll hear it.
So, Tim, you should tell your story.
Oh, well, see, that's another delicate one where I don't want to tell all the details because I know some people who are involved with the story and might be friends with the person I'm talking about might be listening. So, there's going to be I'll be tiptoeing through some landmines as I tell the story. But there was this guy I was friends with, I would hang out with, and he liked to make fun of people. That was, you know, he's kind of like the Bugs Bunny friend, you know. He's fun to hang out with because he is so funny when he makes fun of other people. The price you pay for that, occasionally one of those people is you.
Oh, so he's like all my friends?
Woo, that was a good line, Andy. All right, so we both knew this common friend who was just so unfortunate. Like, everything that could be not right in terms of attractiveness was not right. Like, she was huge, she had bad hair, bad skin, bad teeth, just so unfortunate. But she was huge. And she would wear clothing that huge women shouldn't wear, or huge men. Nobody should wear these clothes. You know what I'm saying?
And you're stepping through landmines with this description? That's your... I'm going to step through landmines. She was huge. I mean,
let me tell
bad,
you know? She had a sister and she ate her. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, she doesn't even have a first name. That's why I'm stepping through landmines.
All right.
Like she would wear like the shirt, like she would sit there and like the shirt would get caught in her folds, and so it would just like she would move and she would move back, and now you could see just this big brisket hanging down.
Brisket.
You could carve some of her side flab off and feed a Somalian family for 4 months. Just flab hanging. Anyway.
Tasty.
Now that you've got that picture.
Who wants rolls?
Now you've got that picture in your mind. Bugs Bunny friend was like, what if a large lady just kidnapped you and just made you her sexual toy? And like you and like after a few months, like she wouldn't even call you by name, and you'd just be she'd be, you know, mounting you, and you'd be like, my name is Tim! My name is Tim! Another clip we've mentioned a few times around this past segments category out. This is a very unfortunate incident that happened between myself and a lovely young lady that I was trying to court in high school, which could not have failed more miserably. Take a listen. You know, sometimes you drop a girl. It's all right.
Sometimes you drop her on her head and she gets up laughing.
I think you should tell that story, Tim.
Have we never told that story on Tancast?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That seems unbelievable.
If we have, it's worth telling again.
All right. So, it was this girl I had the hots for in high school.
And what did she have?
Big
tiggle
boobs.
Bitties? Give you a hint.
Yes, I was going to say, you have to cry while you say it.
Huge boobs.
Maybe that's the problem.
There you go.
Yep. It's top heavy. Couldn't handle it. Well, no, she also had big hips, but...
childbearing hips.
That's what people used to say. I never really considered it to be a flaw, but apparently she was quite sensitive about it. So it's a good thing I've mentioned it on this podcast that reaches all the way to Egypt.
Where she apparently is.
She's in Egypt?
She did have wide hips. She was like, she could have fit two babies. She was like double wide.
But not in an unattractive way. She was still very shapely.
Yes, I'm just saying, like, if you just stop and, like, you know, take everything else out. Yeah, she had wide hips.
All right.
She could have double-stacked the babies in there.
I don't know about that. I think Andy is overselling the wideness of these hips.
I don't think so.
And more importantly, slowing down what is already a fairly uneventful story, of which we've already given away the punchline.
Oh, I don't think it's uneventful. I think it's very eventful.
I guess it's eventful, but you know what I mean. There's not a surprise waiting around the corner, seeing as how we started the topic of this story. But anyway.
Huge boobs.
Yes, huge boobs. I was at...
Childbearing hips.
Noah's anticipating the punchline.
I know, because it's funny.
I was at her house, and I was leaving... And so she'd walk me to my car. We were standing out by my car. And I went to give her a hug. And then while I was hugging her, I sort of picked her up. I'm doing the physicality, but you can't see me. But, you know, just like a standing, you know, regular hug. And then, you know, also put my back in it or lifted her up. And then she said, oh, you can't pick me up. And I said, sure I can. And then I did it's not the fireman's carry, but it's best analogy like, I can give you is when Superman picks up Lois. He always seems to have her. What?
Groom. Carrying across the threshold, carrying the bride across the threshold.
That works as well, and probably is a less geeky way to say it, but I prefer Lois and Superman.
All right.
So I picked her up like that, and I said, here's the tragic flaw in what happened that night. I said, I bet I could even run with you. I then proceeded...
And you could!
I then proceeded to start running. Well, wouldn't you know it... Tim isn't really prepared for the center of gravity to be anywhere other than where it normally is. So, a couple steps in. No, I had built up a good head of steam. I notice I'm starting to fall. The things I would normally use to break my fall are currently holding this person. So instead of breaking my fall with my arms, I broke my fall with her head.
He drops her on her head.
She pops up, says she's all right, and attempts to go back in the house until I notice that there's blood trickling down the side of her hair.
And then she tries to help her out, and she's like, no, it's okay, just go.
Yep, and that is exactly what I did.
Did you ever talk to her again after that?
Our relationship was somewhat strained.
Women are so not understanding. Someone dropped you on your head. No big deal, happens all the time.
Why don't you get on this car?
Later that night, I had to tell somebody. I think Joe, our old roommate, Andy and I's old roommate Joe, called me. And I was like, and I started the story. I was like, I was over at Melinda's house. Whoops. Ah, fuck it. I was over at Melinda's house. I went so far in the story without saying her name. And then blew it at the end there. I was like, I went over to Melinda's house, and I started to tell the story. Like, you know, I was leaving, and I hugged her, and then I picked her up, and yada, yada, yada. And then I tripped, and I dropped on her head. And, like, I just hear silence from the other end of the phone for a couple seconds, and then I hear, idiot! He's like, the way you started that story, I thought it was going to be some romantic story where you picked her up, and then something happened, but nope, you dropped her on her head. All right, we are now down to the final category, our number one category of inside jokes that you would be good for you to know before you listen to a Tancast, and this is our listeners. Yes, somehow along the way we have managed to, like Dorothy walking down some sort of fucked up yellow brick road, we've managed to gather all these people with us who, for some reason, can tolerate our bullshit, and even in some cases, enjoy it and promote it to their friends. Now, I want to say right off the bat, this is not and could not be an all-inclusive list of all our great listeners who've contributed or helped out or written in, because I know there's a lot of you, and you're all great, and this certainly doesn't mean to put one above another, well, except for the part where you actually did rank each other, but I just wanted to give some sort of salute to the listeners who basically have kept us going for 100 episodes. Some of you have been with us pretty much since the beginning, and I appreciate that. And so I thought people coming to the show should know that we're going to talk about these guys a lot, and gals, because they really help make the show better. So we're going to talk about perhaps our most talked about listener. probably the first listener that we didn't know personally. She actually found Grammar Girl, who we mentioned earlier in the other podcast, did a tweet about us. And that's how this listener from the UK found us. And this is us discovering that we actually had a listener that we'd never met.
Did you notice the comment from Joe in the UK?
Yes, that was odd.
International,
so, Joe,
baby.
If you're listening to this, I know. Joe, if you're listening, tell your friends about us. We want to be big everywhere. Well, I mean, I am big everywhere, but...
Mostly in the gut.
Oh, don't forget the butt. But before you tell your friends about us, thank you for listening, Joe.
Yes.
We're on iTunes, baby.
Yeah.
Do a search for Tancast and we come up.
I think that's maybe how Joe found us. I mean, I don't know if he went looking for the website.
But I don't know how
maybe he just...
Like, did he search for Tancast? Like, I don't know how else we would come up.
Maybe there's a new podcast link.
Navy SEALs.
But can we take a half a step back and stop assuming that Joe with no E is a guy? Because it could be Josephine.
That is correct. You know, Joe, we're sorry if you are a female. We're just going to call you it from now on until we find out for sure.
Yeah, because that's way less offensive. We're just going to call you an inanimate thing. A thing. A thing which we will use as we please. Yeah, I like to really engender our listeners to stick around. Motherfuck this tan cast. Or, motherfuck this tan... Oh, I shouldn't. Why did I call?
You sound like you were going for like some sort of bad Oriental.
Ah, like motherfuck!
Like, yeah.
All right, this next listener is Chris. He is our... he's our gay listener. He's our number one gay listener. We'll get to the rankings again in a minute. But, well, he asked for a shout-out on the show, and that led to yet another inside joke, but I wanted to work it in here to our salute to our listeners. Oh, I forgot to mention, 2 weeks ago, Chris, our number one gay fan, commented on my Facebook status and asked me to give him a shout-out. So, Chris, our number one gay fan, you're doing it. I don't know. That's
that's the worst shout-out ever.
I was expecting, like, an honest shout-out. Like, ah! There.
Fuck it. I'm not going to let like, if I die before Tim, he's not speaking at my fucking funeral.
Oh, hey, fuck, Noah, dude. I'm doing the eulogy.
Noah, you're doing it.
Noah, he did it. He got it done.
It was done. I'm out of here. Yeah.
Woo. Everybody, big ups to Noah.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead and shit. All right, this punch.
Kool-Aid.
Grape Kool-Aid. In honor of Noah. Now, this next listener was a debate about whether or not I should put her in the friends we mentioned or the listeners. But I threw her into the listeners because I really don't have a good reason. I flipped a coin. I would say we are friends because we've hung out a number of times before. We've hung out before there was Tancast. So technically, she doesn't belong in this category at all. She belongs in friends. But you know what? She was voted the number one historian by our other listeners, so I felt she should be in here. And she actually did a Tancast. She actually came out to see me doing a stand-up show and recorded this tan laugh on the spot. So here she is reading us a tan laugh. This is Alyssa.
So I was watching the National Geographic Channel the other day, and I was learning about this new pygmy tribe called the Fugawi tribe, somewhere in like the grasslands of Africa or some shit like that. And and it's really interesting because they're so small, but they live in this area with really tall grass. And the reason they were so, like, that's why they haven't discovered them until just now. And the reason, like, how they found them is if you listen really, really carefully as you're walking through the grass, you can hear little voices going, "Where the Fugawi? Where the Fugawi?" Thank you. That is all.
Nailed it. this next listener actually started a podcast of his own with two of his buddies. His name is Luke, and the podcast is called The Ice Podcast.
Luke!
But this is our first shout-out to Luke. We'll play it right now.
I wanted to give a shout-out to Luke, who's 20 years old, from Liverpool, England. He's, I guess, telling all our friends, not all our friends, all his friends, to listen to Tancast.
Luke, if you could pull off telling all of everybody's friends, that would be fucking magical. I would worship you. Because you have magic powers.
On a Tancast, saying he wanted a shout-out twice.
All right. You know, somebody mis-editing that would totally think that I'm claiming that Luke has magical powers, and that would be a great way to start a rumor at your school, Luke. Just edit that together, play it over the loudspeakers. I got the cool accent. I know I don't sound like anybody around you.
This next one is two listeners for the price of one, and two lady listeners at that. This is Melanie, a.k.a. Princess Edamame, and Victoria. If you are not checking out Tancast.com on a regular basis, you are currently missing out on a chick fight.
The comments.
Between...
Sexy.
You know what, Noah? Let me spin this the way I want to spin it so we can get people to Tancast.com. Mr. Fucking blow my wad midway through my own joke.
You know what? I think if they're listening to our podcast, they're reading Tancast.
No, not necessarily.
I think so.
But anyway, Melanie and Victoria are fighting over who's the number one Tancast fangirl. And supposedly, in their comments, Victoria has already ripped Melanie's Tancast tank top, which is impressive. Not only because they're not physically in the same room, but there's no physical Tancast tank top in existence.
Okay, well then the first one to metaphorically send us nude pics wins. Doesn't have to be of yourself.
I should mention Victoria is the sister of Anastasia, who is a listener who contacted us after we spoke about Giada, who is a cooking personality on the Food Network. And I was basically talking about how hot she was, and Anastasia wrote in to be like, hey, ease off Anastasia. And I found out it was because she's actually ease off Anastasia. No. Ease off Giada, because Anastasia's parents are actually friends with Giada. Still waiting for that autographed 8x10 from Giada. That hasn't come in yet. Of course, I haven't asked for it until now, so that could be the problem. All right. Our next listener, shout out here. This is Bryce, who his anniversary with his lovely lady friend Nina is on Valentine's Day, so every year he asks me to do a big shout out, and this is the year I failed at it. Oh, you know what? Speaking of Valentine's Day, we are a little late, but I forgot to give a shout out to Bryce's girlfriend Nina. Happy Valentine's Day, Nina.
Happy belated Valentine's Day.
Isn't it happy anniversary?
Anniversary, Valentine's Day, just
you know
happy
what?
Finding somebody to put it in.
Or to put it in you.
Or, yeah, I guess, yeah, you're the woman. Well, I don't know, maybe they do great freaky strap-on shit.
Pegging.
He's going to be like, thanks, Tim, I'm really glad that you brought her up to imply that she rams me in the ass with a dildo. That is not the romantic salute that I was hoping for.
It's not Valentine's Day, baby, it's Valentine's Day. We made a new holiday.
By the way, that's called pegging.
I already said that.
Oh, you did?
He did say pegging. Yeah.
I missed it.
Next up is a letter from our number one Australian fan. Again, I'll explain this ranking thing in just a second. This is Murray. And, well, take it away.
I'm retiring from podcasting because I've achieved the pinnacle of success.
Oh, really? What's that?
Another man was thinking about me when another man was touching his balls. No, you can't get much better than that. Not even the man I personally met. Someone just heard my voice.
Someone heard your voice and went, I would much rather it was Noah's cradling my balls.
Exactly. And, you know, where can you go from there? Tim?
I don't know. Where can you go from there?
Nowhere!
Although
that's
I do think
retiring.
I know the story that you're talking about.
What is this story, Tim?
Well, the three of us got an email from Murray, no last name.
Number one Aussie fan.
Yes, he is our number one Aussie fan. So, you know, I'll just go ahead and read it.
Captain, incoming message.
You've got mail.
Message for you, sir.
DeVille is here.
Tancast. Listener email.
I had an issue about a month ago with getting severe pain in the pantal area, which I don't even know what that is.
Pantal.
Sorry, this... What?
Pantal.
Oh. I thought it was some technical term. I'm like, I don't know what pantal is. Is that... It sounds like someone who might be...
Well, apparently Tim's too dumb to read, so maybe someone else should take this over.
All right, go ahead and read, fucker. Let's get some heckling done on your ass. Read it. No. Read it. I didn't want to read this gay-ass email. You fucking read it.
Fucking doing a death dedication.
Noah's already giving away the punchline. There's got to be any funny at the end of this.
fuck you, Tim. You're the destroyer
no,
of joy.
No, fuck you. You started it.
So much anger.
You said I'm Killjoy Boy, but you've just peed all over the joy.
I'll pee on your face.
There is joy, and now it smells like Tim piss.
Good.
When I first read this story, it reminded me of when Andy would sit on his balls. Andy's the only man I know that sits on his balls on a regular basis.
I no longer sit on my balls. Ever since I switched to boxer briefs from boxers.
I was gonna say, ever since I got married and my wife keeps them in a purse.
Yes.
Now she sits on them occasionally.
They're safe. Just to remind me what it's like.
She waves them in front of me and goes, "See these? Aren't they fragrant and fuzzy?"
So do we want to go back to Murray and his ball story?
He's like, "I'm so glad you guys have made me a part of the show."
So shall I do this?
Yes, I'm going to take a phone call really quick while you tell this.
All right. Sorry, I got to get the balls out of my throat. I had an issue about a month ago with getting severe pain in the pantal area when I sat down on certain chairs. It would seem that the boys were not happy. Being a man, I waited about a week and a half before going to see the doctor about it. I listened to the latest Tancast on the way to the clinic. Thanks for the shout-out, by the way. The doctor asked whether I'd been hit in the groin recently. Andy will understand that as the father of a child who is still in nappies, but big enough to be changing a mat on the floor rather than a NAD-protecting changing table, my answer was, "Oh, dozens of times, probably, but none that stand out in my mind especially." After the essential pleasantries about which boy was hurting, whether I'd been attempting to make any videos for YouTube or involved in any other activities associated with being hit in the nuts, etc., it was time for the inevitable manual examination by the doctor. The doctor I saw was a relatively recent immigrant from Northern Africa. As he felt around down there, I looked down and thought, "So, it's come to this. Another man who I've only met once before, carefully and delicately feeling my balls one by one. How do I keep my sense of perspective on this one? Mainly I was trying to think of whether there was any joke that I could make at this point which would not ultimately leave me more self-conscious rather than less. What suddenly hit me, though I didn't say it out loud, was, I can just think of this one black man as representing my two half-black heroes, Tim and Noah, and imagine that each is caressing one of my love spuds." Andy knows how appealing this would have been. Yeah, I do. I managed to prevent myself laughing, but was very concerned for a few seconds about what signal it would send to the doctor if he chose that moment to look up past my genitals and see a huge smile on my face. I doubted that he would be altogether pleased at the idea. Then I was worried about what would happen if he was. Oh, and Andy, don't be jealous about being left out of this. I promise that I was thinking about you all the time while the white nurse rubbed lube all over the area with an ultrasound machine the next day. Well, I've amused myself, if no one else. Love the show, guys. So no, he didn't just amuse himself. He amused the piss out of me, and I, in fact, woke my wife up laughing about it. I had a similar thought
to Noah. I was like, well, I am literally touching people I've never met. Okay, I keep saying I'm going to explain this ranking thing. Mike is a listener who proclaimed himself the Tancast number one fan. And then on Tancast.com, this started a bit of a debate where people were deciding, well, could you be the number one fan? Am I the number one fan? Then people just started ranking themselves as to what fan they thought they were. So Mike was our number one fan. Jess listed himself our number two fan. Bryce, who you heard about earlier, number three. Nick proclaimed himself number 3.9 because Luke, who I mentioned earlier again, number four. Todd, who sends us a lot of forwards and whatnot, listed himself as number five. Princess Edamame, a.k.a. Melanie, listed herself as number 12. Chris was our number one gay fan. Alyssa, number one female fan. Anastasia, our number one teenage female fan. And then there's Gino, our number one fan in the military, who actually was actually home on leave, actually took some time out of his stay to come see a show of mine in Los Angeles. So thank you again for that, Gino. And then a couple other listeners I wanted to give a shout out to. Natasha, who started the official Facebook fan page, which you can find linked in every episode and on the sidebar at Tancast.com. Logan, I want to give a special shout out to Logan because I've been commenting on the Facebook fan page that I was looking for the moment in Cancast where Noah mentioned the thing about the Vietnamese hookers, and I was listening to episodes, and I think Logan listened to like 12 episodes to try and find it for me. And fucking mad props to you, Logan. And I know as soon as I stop recording, I'm going to think of a bajillion more names, but like there's Jerry Brandt, a comedian friend of mine, Chris Adams, they run the Drinking Buddies podcast, they're regular listeners, Chelsea, Eric, Ian, Naxo, Jahiro, Mysterious Matt, my brother-in-law, Iris, Andy, Steph, stepsister, Kristen from Nostalgia. Fuck, I know I'm leaving people out. I'm so sorry. I feel bad because I started this and there's no way I can list everybody, but if I haven't mentioned your name, it doesn't mean you're not a great supporter of us, that we don't really appreciate it. It just means that this episode is fucking long and Tim is tired and Andy and Noah didn't help for shit on this episode. You two are faggots. I know you're not listening to this. You're pieces of shit. I hope you die in a fire. Not really. I hope you die peacefully in your sleep with me taking a shit in your eyes. And I think we've come to the end of this clusterfuck. Oh, wait. There was one more listener thing I wanted to mention. This is from CJ, who actually is a student who wrote a short story for us. And this is probably one of my favorite listener moments in terms of creating an original thing for us to read. Well, you know, here's the clip. Bring your children around this little children's story. It's got a moral at the end. Did I say it was from CJ? It's from CJ. I'm not going to read the title of the story because I think that gives it away. And here it goes. A long time ago, in the land of adventure, there lived three chimpanzees named Tim, Andy, and Noah. They all lived...
Racist.
Since I claim to be a chimp and you two are black.
They all lived together in a thick jungle in a treehouse called the Tan Tree. T for Tim, A for Andy, N for Noah. One morning, Andy was walking by the river when he saw two small crocodiles. He was so happy! He had been looking for crocodiles all of his life. Andy believed that if he wore crocodiles on his feet, that all the other monkeys in the jungle would be jealous of him. So Andy jumped into the river and asked the crocodiles, "Would you like to be my shoes?" The crocodiles had always wanted to be shoes, so they agreed and they clamped onto Andy's feet, hoping not to hurt him. As Andy walked back to the tan tree, he was happy. He thought he would be the best-looking monkey around. Unfortunately for Andy, no one thought that crocs were fashionable except for him. Andy walked into the treehouse to find Noah and Tim playing on the monkey bars. The moment Andy's tree mates saw that he was wearing crocs, they began laughing uncontrollably. They said that the crocs were the ugliest things they had ever seen. Andy didn't understand. He thought that if he wore crocs, more people would like him. But instead, they were being mean. Andy felt so sad. He ran to his room. Andy cried for hours and hours until he fell asleep. I'm sorry, the story's not over. That's just where Tim freaks out laughing. The next morning, when Andy woke up, he decided that maybe it was just Noah and Tim that thought that his crocs were ugly. So he decided he would wear them around town and see what people said. As Andy, wearing his crocs, walked around the jungle town, he noticed that people were pointing at him and laughing. Jeff, a tiger, walked up to Andy and told him that he should stop embarrassing himself and take off the crocs. Then Van, an iguana, came along and said that Andy should never wear the crocodiles again. Andy began to tear up. Why didn't anyone like his crocs? As the day moved on more and more, people told Andy that his crocs were hideous. Because he felt so embarrassed, he began to make up lies. When someone asked him why he was wearing crocodiles on his feet, he told them that he had bought them for a trip to Hawaii he was going to take, or that he just thought they were comfortable, but no one believed him. This was the worst day of the poor monkey's life. Andy the monkey thought about what all the people had said that day. Did their opinions matter? After much thinking and some more crying, Andy came to the conclusion that it didn't matter what other people thought. Andy loved his crocs. Nothing was going to split them apart. And Andy and his crocs lived happily ever after.
Oh, you're going to hear it when you go to edit, Tim, but I was basically hyperventilating over here trying not to laugh over the story.
So CJ wrote to me, he's like, "Can I use your guys' name in a story? Because I have to do a creative writing story." I was like, "You can, under one condition. You must send me the story when you are done with it."
I'm
not
going to
have any swear words. I'm like, I think it's still funny.
I hope CJ got an A.
All right, and that is it for clips. we are done. Hopefully you are now armed with the tools to enjoy any future episode of Tancast, or armed with the tools to decide you never want to listen to this fucking podcast again. Either way, I thank you for listening. There's plenty more Tancast to find. You can listen to these whole episodes. You can find them at Tancast.com. You can download them on iTunes. And basically that is it for the prepisode. You are now prepped. Now, let's get out there and Tancast, bitches.
Thank you for listening to Tancast. Remember to visit Tancast.com to leave comments on this or any other episode and our blogs. Remember to go to iTunes and search for Tancast, where you can subscribe to us and write us a review so that other people can find us and subscribe to us as well. Also, be sure to visit the official Tancast Facebook page, linked right there in the show notes. And also, don't forget, you can get a little bit of the Tancast magic at the official Tancast store at cafepress.com/Tancast. Thanks again for listening. We will catch you next week.
Tancast. Oh, one last thing. At the end of every show, we always play one extra clip that didn't make it into the show for some reason or another. And so, one more clip for the road. Here you go.
Hey, Tim.
Yo.
Were you aware?
No.
That it's a fake?
I was aware.
What are you talking about?
What? You did not see... Oh, look who complains I don't look at his links and then doesn't look at my links. You non-link looking
at... At least I look at some of your shit. You look at none of my shit. Well, first we're talking about links, then we're talking about shit. Why don't we stay on the same topic?
Well, no offense, I can only see how many times that you ran 4 miles with fucking Runkeeper. I got it. You ran. Yes! Look at Noah running, everybody! Running about! Look at him running hither and thither!
Hey, I only do that one time a day. Not even every day.
And no.
Me, I post way more links. There have been days where that fucker that fucking thing's popped up like 3 or 4 times. No. Maybe yes. Twice.
Yeah, not 3 or 4 times, but I've at least seen it twice a day.
Not usually, though. It's only once.
I'm like, oh, he biked and he ran. Look at him.
Ooh.
If he swims, he gets the trifecta. I get him a cookie. Oh, I guess that would be counterproductive. Energy bar? I don't know what you'd want.
Watch you shut the fuck up, nigger.
Anyway, so there's me and Andy are talking about is it's just two scenes from Deep Space Nine where one character is yelling, "It's a fake!" And then Captain Sisko is yelling, "It's real!" And someone just spent 3.5 minutes having them go back and forth.
Oh, but it's so awesome.
It is. Good times. Anyway,
it's
so
a fake. It's real! It's a fake. It's real.
For some reason, where it gets me is about, I think, 2 minutes in, where it's like, it's real.